Well, God's certainly speaking this morning. I feel, man, I'm just sort of praying at the moment, God, help me to get it out. And, you know, as Kevin alluded to, right from the word go, coming in here, in our prayer meeting, just prophetically and just prayers generally, God's just confirming and just adding to what he's put on my heart this week to bring to us all this morning. Where's Leslie? Leslie pretty much preached my message just now. So, you know, God's speaking. Hebrews 11 is what I'm going to talk from this morning. You know, take Leslie's message as well. Go and apply that and you'll do well. Want to live a good life and you'll do well. So I just really need to pray because there's, you know, I prepared something this morning, but there's a whole lot of other stuff that, you know, I just need God to bring together. And you need to pray for me because you need to pray that God brings it out. And so, because we're not here just for another January service. I've just been astounded. Hasn't January church just been awesome? You know, God's just been moving. It's been a bit more relaxed, I guess, to some extent, but we want to see more of that. So, Father, we just come into your presence. We're here in your presence. We thank you that you're here, and we just declare that in our hearts this morning. God, we just simply want to hear from you today, and we want to be moved by you again. We want to progress into what you've got for us. And so, Lord, today's not just another Sunday. It is a Sunday. It is a day. It's a moment. It's a moment in time where you're going to activate us again, and you're going to move us on to another place. And so we open our hearts to you right now. Lord, we just open our hearts and our minds, our spirits to you. Father, move, move. Lord, our hearts are soft towards you and towards your word. And Lord, I pray, we pray together, come on church, we pray together that you'll bring out what you need to bring out today. That God, you'll change my script, you'll change the words that perhaps I've planned, and God, you'd stir this this heart of ours, you'd stir us up this morning to step out in faith. And I just release faith right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we step into an arena of faith right now that will take us into a place where you want us to go. So faith be released in Jesus' name. Amen. And how many have faith this morning by faith? Come on, how many have faith by faith? That's good, isn't it? So we have been over the last few weeks just talking, just, you know, great message last week, opening, walking through doors. If you weren't here last week, get onto our internet site and get the message, just walking through doors saying yes, yes, yes. Can we all say yes, 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 as opposed to no, no, no? And so really activating, this is a season for activating, for really putting some action into plan. The big ask. When we're setting goals and dreams and things, going beyond what we can naturally achieve in ourselves, really coming to a point of desperation, as Kevin said, is God, we need you. You know, with stuff we're going to do this year, we need you. We need you. We can't do this on our own. And I like that. And I love that whole tension that we're stepping out and stuff, but we can't really do it. So I want to press into that a little bit more, and really look at this what I call the in-between time. Do you know what I mean by the in-between time? It's like the time where you've decided, God's put something on my heart, you've decided something to do, and you step out and you start activating, but then there's a whole lot of time between that point and the point you actually achieve it. You know, for some, it's a lifetime. For others, it's just a shorter period of time, but there's some things that are just you'll actually never achieve in your lifetime. And yet God perhaps has even put it on your heart, but maybe you'll never even achieve it. And it's this tension that we live in as human beings, that there's so much stuff beyond us, but we've got to live and deal with that and deal with the mundaneness of life at times. Even though there's massive dreams in your hearts and in your souls, we've got to learn to live in that time. And just some prophetic things that came out. I just love this picture of a hamster. You know what a hamster wheel looks like? A hamster just running around in this wheel, and the wheel's just perpetually going and going and going. And if you're like, sometimes you feel like in life you're just walking around and around and around. There's something out there that God's got for you. There's something in your life, but you're walking around and around and around. And at some point, we've got to somehow get off that circular life and walk, start going forward. And prophetically, even this morning, I know that there's many people here this morning where this is a point where you've got to start walking forward. There's a point where we've got to get off the roundabout. You know how you're going a roundabout in a kid's playground and you get really sick? I hate those things. When I was a kid, I loved it. But now as an adult, I get on those things and I feel queasy. It's time for us to get off that treadmill in whatever arena that God's speaking to you this morning about. And we're in a place where we need to go forward in our lives. It'll be a nice thing to do, but we need to go forward. There is a necessity to go forward. And even what comes to mind is this man Abraham, way back in chapter 12 of Genesis. He said, come out of your land, leave your father and your mother and your households and things. And then he says, go to a land that I'm going to show you. Now, what happens, I'm just recalling this from memory, so you might be able to help me, but in around about chapter 13, he comes out. He ends up coming right back to a place where he almost started again and went round and round. So he went around in one great big circle. And you might be feeling like that right now, this morning, like Abraham, this great man of faith. And he went round in a circle. He ended up back in the same place. You can look it up in chapter 13. And it wasn't until he separated himself from his nephew Lot, because God said to him, you've got to leave this land and you've got to leave all your family. And yet he took his nephew, who was called Lot, he took him with him. And so until he separated from something, until he did that, was he able to move forward. And that just might be a word this morning. Until we separate from some things in life, do we go forward at times? What is it we need to separate from this morning? And so we're in this tension. I think of King David even. And King David, he was one of the greatest kings in Israel, wasn't he? And yet, you know, King David, he was anointed as king. So he was prayed by Samuel, and he was anointed as king when he was a teenager. And yet it was many, many years later until he actually became king. So there's this huge gap. David was walking around for this all this time, and he had this weight on his shoulders, knowing he was going to be the king of Israel. How did he live in that tension? How did he live in that tension between knowing he was destined for some sort of greatness and waiting for a long time until he achieved that greatness? He didn't know when it was going to be. There was no defined time, and that sometimes can weigh on our mind. There's no defined time. When is it going to happen? And even this morning, you know, you might be in that place where you're like, man, I know something's going to happen. But the hardest part to deal with, the hardest part to live with is that undefined period of time, that unquantified period of time. There's a word just for some people this morning. And so David, he lived with this sort of tension. And, you know, I just really have in my spirit this morning, God saying, come on, don't drop the dream. Don't let go of the dream. Don't let go of the things that he's put in your heart. This is not a season to say, right, I've waited far too long. I've waited too long for you, God. I've waited too long for these things to happen. Now is not a time to be dropping that goal, to be dropping the ball. Now is the time to be picking it up more than ever. And so I would just, you know, if you can catch that in your spirit this morning, if you can catch something of what God's saying, come on, this is a time to press on. Not a time to look back. And so why don't we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, excuse me, and just look at this great chapter. We know that it's the chapter, as Leslie's already said, the chapter of faith. And it talks about many great men and women of faith. And it goes on about Abraham. It goes on about Moses. It talks about Moses and Noah. It talks about Sarah, Enoch, and Abel. All these great people of faith. Now, God gave them all dreams and great aspirations and things, all good stuff. In fact, to Abraham, he said, a nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. Now, verse 13, if you come with me to verse 13, it says this: all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, they did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. And so here we have an example of great men and women of faith. And they had these dreams and promises that God had given them. And they died not seeing what God had promised for them. They died, they breathed their last breath, not actually necessarily seeing in the physical, not talking about spiritual, but in the physical, they didn't actually see what God had promised them many, many, many years earlier. And so the question I'm asking myself is, how can these people, these great men and women of faith, live with such hope, live with such a sense of destiny, live with such a faith, because the Bible's saying these are men and women of faith, how can they live a life of faith and never actually see the completion of the dream that God has given them? Never actually come to a point where they can say, man, I've done it. Man, God has come through for me in the fullness of what he had promised. How can they live like that? How can we live a life where we're just dealing with the mundaneness of life and never get to a point perhaps we're going to die, we're going to come to a point of death in the physical and never actually see the fulfillment of the promise. Now, that's just astounding to me. I don't want to get to the end of my life and go, well, God's promised me all this stuff, but I never actually saw it. But man, I have hope. I have faith that God is still in control and all that sort of stuff. I actually want to see what God has for me. I want to see it. I want to see it today. You know, I'm fairly impatient at times. I want to see what God has for me. And yet, how did these people get to a point, breathe their last breath, and still say, God, you're awesome. I didn't see what you had for me, but God, you're awesome. I want to live a life like that. And, you know, I don't want my hope, my faith, I don't want that to be dependent on whether all these promises come to pass or not. All my dreams that I have, all my aspirations, perhaps for my children, perhaps for my family, perhaps for this church. You know, I'm not gonna live this life, and maybe some of those things aren't gonna come off, and I'm not gonna get bitter and twisted. I don't want to live a life where we get bitter and twisted because perhaps something that we were hoping for didn't actually happen. And so there's something else. I want to look at these people. There's something else in their lives that really held them and took them and helped them through all of this. And you know, just some of these things. I believe that first of all, they realized that God's promise was not dependent on them being alive. The fulfillment of the promise that God, it wasn't. You know, Abraham, he was promised the descendants as many as the stars are in the sky. Now, that's not dependent on him actually being alive. The fulfillment of that promise is still happening even today. And so he had a family, and so he started it off, all right? So he didn't see the fullness of that. And some of the others, they didn't see the fullness of what God had promised. So it wasn't dependent on them on being alive. But also, I believe that God's promise, they believe that God's promise was much bigger than them. And it wasn't, although it was given to them, they were just a component of the dream. And here's another word, is that some of us might have this amazing dream in our lives, but it might well be that you're just a component of that dream. You're not the fullness of that dream. There's got to be other people that come around you and perhaps become part of that dream. In fact, you might be just a small part of that dream. God might have shown you a bunch of stuff, but you might be just a component of that. And I believe these guys had it in their heart, they lived like they were perhaps just a component of it. And that takes humility. And it is good, isn't it? Amen. So what kept these people? I want to just look at this quickly. What kept these people going? I believe they had an eternal perspective. And this morning, I just simply want to talk into eternity, living with an eternal perspective. An eternal perspective. Abraham says in Hebrews 11:10, was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. So his hope was in eternal foundations. It wasn't in a city, it wasn't in a dream that was in the physical realm right now, but in a sense of eternity and eternal destination. Moses, he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking ahead to his great reward, Hebrews 11:26. He was looking ahead to his great reward. That great reward is talking about an eternal reward, and a reward that he'll get when he goes to glory, which when he dies in the physical and goes to be with Jesus. That will be his reward. That was what he was living for, an eternal destiny. We know this scripture here, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. It says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Everything becomes beautiful in its time. Not our time necessarily, but in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Oh, this is really exciting to me because we have this dichotomy. Now, you probably would have read the book Eternity in Their Hearts. Some of us may have even heard of this book, Eternity in Their Hearts. I've never read it, so excuse me if I sort of, double up or whatever. But there's a great book apparently called Eternity in Their Hearts. And I haven't read it. I recommend that you go and read it because I've heard some great stuff about it. How many have read that book? Yeah, a number of us have read that book. But this scripture here is an incredible scripture because it says that although no one can find out the work God does from beginning to end, in other words, no one can comprehend the beginning to the end, no one can comprehend eternity, it also says that eternity is actually in our heart. And so there's this whole sort of confusing thing going on. I want to just open that up a little bit. When you look back into some of the original language, eternity, it sort of means to veil or conceal. It talks about things that you can't see. And so eternity for us are things that we can't see right now. Some of the big things in life, those that are things that are beyond us. And that's when you say the word eternity, it's those things that are far beyond us. And it's things really of God, and only He can comprehend it. But I believe that God wants to give us a glimpse of eternity. Although we can't comprehend everything, although we can't comprehend, our finite minds can't comprehend a limitless time, none of us can comprehend that. I believe that God wants to give us a little bit of a glimpse of some of the eternal things that He has for us. And He wants to give us like a taster of those things. And the Bible says He's put eternity into our hearts. And so there's a glimpse that He wants us to have into the future and into the things that He has for us. And I just know that there's some pretty amazing things that God has for us, for your life individually, but also for us as a church. And I believe God is starting to give us a glimpse of what He's taking us into. And there's an excitement beginning to build, even in the spiritual. You may not know the actual detail of it, but there's a sense that something pretty special is going to unfold in our lives and even in the life of this church. He's given us a glimpse. It's almost like a feel, if you like. Now, I'm not so much of a feely sort of a guy, I'm more of a sort of a details and facts and figures guy. But I have a sense, and I know in a spiritual sense, there are some things that are going to be opening up and unfolding in the life of this church and in our lives as well. And God is wanting to give us a glimpse into that. And perhaps He's going to give a glimpse to each one of you. And as we join together, the prophetic picture of that will come together because each one of us makes up Life Changes Church. And this is just, I'm speaking just prophetically right now, that as each one of us taps into Jesus Christ, as each one of us, as I preached a few weeks ago, get on our knees and comes to God for things that are so far beyond us, each one of us will begin to get a glimpse of what the future might look like for us. And together we'll be able to put that picture together and see really the full picture of what God has for us, the fullness. It'll come across in the fullness of time, in the right time. And so there's this glimpse that God's giving us. And it's funny, I was David Fraser. Gee, by the way, I just want to say thanks to those that came out and just helped us with the buzzy bee, the busy bee, the working bee. Always the working bee, I always do get the working bee. And apologies, it was very short notice, but we just needed to get some things done, so no problem. But thanks to those that came out. Our garden now looks really awesome. But David Fraser has just been helping us all week, actually, with a whole bunch of different stuff. And he said this profound thing. David comes up with profound things quite often, I find. Where are you here, David? I can't. Oh, there you are, behind Dina there. And he said this. I had to write it down a bit. He says, he was water blasting, you see. And water blasting is a little bit like God's work. It's God's, he says, God's eternal work. And he says, the more you do, the more work there is to do. In other words, the more you do, the more you see of what you have to do. You start water blasting. And so, thanks, David. Yeah. Turn with me into, it is profound, Romans chapter 1, verse 19. And so although we have this whole thing in us that eternity is such a big thing, it's such a big deal for us, we can't get our heads around it. God, I believe, does want us to see a little bit of it. And so in Romans chapter 1, verse 19, let's just read a little bit here. that they know. So the Bible's talking about those who don't actually know God yet, but it says they know the truth about God because he's made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see this, his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. So here in the book of Romans is really backing up what we're talking about in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, that if you want to see some of the eternal power of God, if you want to see some of the amazing greatness of God, all we need to do is turn our eyes outside and to see and to look at his creation. All we need to do is look next to you, look on your left and your right and go, wow, what an amazing creation God has made sitting right next to you. Come on, take a look right next to you. Why don't you say, man, you're an amazing creation this morning. And so if we want to know some of the eternal greatness of God, just start looking at some of the amazing things he's made, the complexity of some of these things. I think even in the whole world of scuba diving, I talked to some who have gone scuba diving for the first time, and I remember the first time I went scuba diving. It was just amazing. It was incredible that there's a whole other world under the ocean. How many of some people nodding? You've been scuba, haven't you, Helen? How many others have just gone under the water and just, you know, it's just an amazing world. It's like a world outside of our world. And you go down and there's plants and there's trees. You know, there's weeds sort of or kelp swaying in the thing, and then there's all sorts of animals and fish and moray eels that jump out at you and crayfish that you can eat and scallops that you can eat. And you know, the underwater world is just incredible. There's landscapes under the ocean, rock formations, coral formations, beautiful color under the ocean. And we just got to simply go and look at some of these things and we see, wow, God is eternal. God is all powerful. He made this. It wasn't man who made this stuff. And so, you know, we have an appreciation of this, of course, but it's good to step back and go, God, this is something that is beyond us. This is an eternal issue. These are some of the eternal things. And I'm just amazed we walk around. New Zealand's just a great place, isn't it? I think I said a few weeks ago, man, we're just so blessed to live in New Zealand. I was even at a party last night, and I was talking to someone, and someone who lived from somewhere else or something, and he was an Israeli, that's right, he was from Israel, and yeah, he's just saying, man, New Zealand is such an amazingly beautiful place to live, and he called it God Zone, and it's just such an amazing, beautiful place. And so we have no excuse to comprehend and to have a glimpse of God's eternal power. Just look outside, look around us. So the men of faith, I want to look, how did the men of faith glimpse and live in this eternal place? You know, eternal perspective, I think, for Moses and Abraham and others, is a life that takes no shortcuts. You know, it's a life that doesn't make excuses. It's a life that realizes they're part of the answer, not the full answer. You know, it's a sort of people that would rather die trying than die wondering. It's the sort of people who get to the end of their life and go, well, at least I gave this a go, rather than giving nothing a go. But I don't take shortcuts because people with an eternal perspective realize that, man, this may not even happen in my lifetime. So I may as well do this well, take the time and get things done and do it well according to what God has given me to do. Eternity, for me, it releases a sense of pressure of needing to get immediate success. You know, even in church life or in your work or in your family, you're really wanting to get immediate success. When I go to my son and my daughter and I bring them up about something and I you know, I'd love to see their behavior change somewhat in certain areas, if you know what I mean, if you've ever brought children up. I'd like to see immediate success. I'd like to say an immediate, yes, Dad, yes, I will do that. And that just doesn't happen like that at times. And I'm learning that it takes time to work through and it takes time to see some success. And I rejoice when I see success. But it, you know, applies to all areas of life. And I really think that those with an eternal perspective have a level of patience to see things unfold. And even in the life of our church, well, let's have patience to see some things unfold that we want to see. I just remember... you know, spending just a few weeks ago, I was just in prayer and so forth, and I just had this realization. It was like an epiphany that I'm going to be, I was praying, and God, I'm going to serve you for the rest of my days and all that sort of thing. But I just had this realization that actually I'm going to be serving God for the rest of eternity, not just the rest of my days, for the rest of eternity. And it began just to blow me away that my prayers, and my prayers are just starting to change somewhat, because no longer am I trying to say, God, we've got to see some of these things happen immediately and get all this stuff done and all that, to now going, God, I'm going to be with you for eternity. I may as well really get to know you. If I'm going to spend an eternity with you, you know, some people, you look at them or you know them and you go, man, you spend 1 hour with them and it's like an eternity. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my goodness. But you know, we're going to spend eternity with Jesus. And so here's my thought was, I may as well get to know Jesus really well, because I'm going to be spending a long, long, long time with Jesus. And then it just changes a sense of perspective in your prayer, in your Bible readings. You're no longer looking at it for a quick fix. You're just going, God, I really need to know some of the depths of what you're about. And eternity, knowing, just having this comprehension. Perhaps it's just a jolt this morning. A jolt to just remember that we're in this forever. You're in this forever. Let's just say forever together. Forever. We're in this forever. Not just your lifetime, but we're in this forever. Interesting. And so this morning, just while I close, and then we're gonna sing. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. I'm just going to read from the New King James Bible right now, and launch from there, just to finish off with a few things. How do these people how do these people live with eternities in their hearts? And I won't dwell on these things, but Hebrews 11 verse 13. Says that these all died in faith, not having received the promises. We've already read this, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Just three or four things, just while we close. First of all is that they saw, they embraced, they confessed, and they didn't look back. They saw, they embraced, they confessed, and they didn't look back. First of all, they saw, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. So they saw something not in the physical, but in the spiritual sense. And you know, I believe it's a sense of greatness. Having an understanding of the greatness of God, they were able to comprehend some of the dreams that God has for them. I just wonder what God has actually planned for each one of us. I look at some of these, I look at you this morning, I look at us this morning, and I wonder what God has for your life. I really do. I really do. I sit down and I think and I pray. Sometimes I get the list on the phone list that we have, and I pray and I look at all your names, and it just recalls individuals. And I wonder, what is it that God has for you? How do you fit into the picture of life? How do you fit in the picture of God's world? How do you fit in the picture of Life Changes Church? What has God actually got for you? I can't necessarily see it. But I can sometimes dream. I can pray. God, release it. Sometimes as I start praying, I see some things for each one of us. And, you know, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." In other words, we can't comprehend sometimes what God has got for each one of us. And so... The question I ask, and I'm sure you're asking, is, well, how do we actually try and see into that realm, have a glimpse of that eternity? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10 and 16. I'd like to just read that as well, if that's okay. That's good. Kevin thinks it's okay. 1 Corinthians, just turn there with me, please. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us. So verse 9, eyes not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And so it is the Holy Spirit that begins to show us something of the future. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of the man which is in him. It's got to be our spirit connecting with the Lord. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that we have, that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can we know them because they are spiritually discerned. And it goes on, spiritually discerned. This morning, how do you need to tune in to the spiritual element that God has placed within you? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. How much time are we giving to seeking the Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, what is it that you have got for me today? What is it that you've got for me in this life? And, I just really pray that this morning there might be just some eyes open today about what God has for you in store. Secondly, is that they embraced. And it's one thing to see something in a spiritual sense, it's another thing to embrace it. And although it's not physically there yet, to actually literally embrace it, think about it, mull over what God has promised for us. Begin to dream and to plan and to maybe strategize and perhaps put some things into place to start walking towards what God's put on your heart, to embrace it, to live in it, and to progress in it. Thirdly, it says that they confessed and they talked about it. They talked about the promise that God had for them. And they talked it up. They didn't talk it down. I bet they talked up the promises of God. It's like, wow, God's going to give me so many babies and children that there's going to be descendants and children as many as the stars in the heaven. Abraham would have gone, wow, this is awesome. And they would have confessed it and talked it. Confess it to yourself. Learn to mumble through the word and the promises that God has for us. We know some of these basic things of Christianity. We've got to confess well. But what I want to really finish on this morning, and I believe it's a challenge this morning, is it also says, don't look back. And so in turning back into Hebrews, it said they didn't look back. In fact, they trained their mind to look forward. Because if they had put their mind to the things that were in the past, then they would have had an opportunity to go back. And I just want to find the actual wording, Hebrews 11. And it says in verse 13, if they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. And here's a word this morning. Is that for some of us, and it's really what I started talking about right at the beginning of this message, was that if we do continue to look back at some of the things that have gone on, then it will be difficult for us to push forward. And I sometimes think, what would it be like for the Israelites? They'd come through the Red Sea, they'd come into the wilderness, and you know the Israelites started murmuring to Moses and said, man, you shouldn't have brought us out of this place. We'd be better off in Egypt. Imagine if Moses had said, okay, well, let's go back to Egypt then. Cool. Yeah, let's go back. And all the Israelites go, yep, let's go back. Let's go back to Egypt. I sometimes think, what would have happened if the Israelites had gone back to Egypt? I tell you, it was attractive to see. They would have had food given to them. You know, they were working hard, but at least they had food. At least they had protection and shelter and that sort of thing. Yeah, they worked really hard. But there were some good things that they had. They didn't have to walk around willy-nilly all around the wilderness and not knowing where they were going. They didn't have to deal with that. But I tell you, if they'd gone back into Egypt, it would have been absolutely horrific. One, they would have been going against what God had called them into. They would never have gone to the promised land eventually. But two, they probably, I think, and this is just my wondering, is perhaps they would have been annihilated. the nation of Israel could well have been annihilated. They were gone back and just been absolutely under the thumb. And it's a dangerous, dangerous thing to start thinking about where we've come from. The good old days, perhaps. The past. We used to do things like this. We used to do it this way. You know, we used to you know, sing these songs, perhaps. And, you know, it's a dangerous thing. But in your life, you know, I used to be an electrical engineer. And sometimes I think, well, what if I stop being a pastor for some reason? The Lord perhaps called me out of being a pastor, and I had to go and find a job. In fact, that was a very real option or thing I had to contemplate when I moved from Wellington, because I moved out of Wellington without any agenda going. I hadn't even heard about Life Changes Church at all. I knew Don, but I hadn't heard about Life Changes Church so much. And so I had that very real opportunity. Maybe I could have gone back to engineering. Maybe I could have gone back to that. I think now, what if I'd stopped? Now, don't get all scared. I'm not stopping being Life Changes pastor. But, you know, I wouldn't go back to engineering. I wouldn't, because it's in my past. It's something that I enjoyed and I love doing, but it's in my past. It's not something. I don't believe God is not going to be calling me back to engineering. I'd go into something else. But it's just a word this morning for someone here today, or maybe for many people. You've done some stuff in the past. Don't rely, perhaps, on what you've done in the past. Even you may have studied. You may have studied for a long, long time in a particular field, and you've put all this effort into studying, going to university or something. It may well be that God doesn't want you to perhaps go into that field and continue on in that field. I spent years studying as an engineer. I spent years training as an engineer. And then one day God just said, no, that is the past. You've got to come out of that, Colin. You've got to learn to see yourself in a different light and in a different capacity. And so there's times where we've got to perhaps move on. And so it's a matter of perhaps, you know, if we're feeling like we're going around in circles on a treadmill, coming out of that, sometimes it's a matter of God's got something quite different for me. And it is time to move on and to leave the past in the past. So why don't we stand this morning? If I could just have the band come, please. And I'd love to pray for those, perhaps, that you're feeling. Something's just hit a nerve this morning. It's probably been a little bit random here and there, but I believe God's wanting to speak. He's speaking all morning about standing and going forward. It's a bit of a dichotomy, standing and going forward. But as we stand, we do go forward. And sometimes we just got to stand to stop the flow. So let's stand together. And so, Father, we just thank you for this time together. We just thank you that you've got such a heart towards us. You've got such a heart towards Life Changes Church. And even now, just you know, and a lot of what we've talked about has been very straightforward this morning. It's very straightforward. It's very direct. And you know, I believe God's wanting to speak just directly, without perhaps a lot of the extravagance that goes around it. Just very, very straight and very directly, even without a whole lot of music. If we could have a guitar, that's great. But even without a whole lot of music and so forth, we'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak. I just invite you to lift your hands if, you know, if you would like to. Jesus, we just offer ourselves to you this morning. Just a real sense of your Holy Spirit here today. A sense of your presence. We thank you, Jesus. There's an element of seriousness about what you bring into us today. We thank you for the joy, but we just thank you, Jesus, you love and care for us so much that you choose to, and you do bring across a clear message today. Thank you, Jesus. Just this morning, if you're in a place where you feel that you perhaps do need to stop, let the past go, and then begin to step forward in what God has got for you, putting on the eternal mindset. If that's you this morning, I'd love to pray for you. Just lift your hand real high and I'll pray for you. Just see your hand. Just others this morning. Just lift your hand real high so I can see your hands, yeah. Well, there's, there's just people here this morning that God's spoken to. We need to respond to Jesus when he starts speaking into our hearts. Just others this morning, just lift your hand real high. If you're in a place where, no, I've really just got to go forward. Thank you, Jesus. I just thank you for these ones that are responding to you this morning, Jesus. I thank you, Father, that your heart is towards them, that you love them so much, and that God, this is almost an arresting here this morning. An arresting. God, you've got such an awesome plan and a purpose for our lives. And Lord, I just pray you'd release that now in Jesus' name. And Lord, you'd even give there'd be a supernatural ability to let go of the things that have been in the past, let go of even past identities, and move forward today with such an eternal sense and eternal attitude. God, we're in this forever. We're in this for the long haul. So God, I pray for each person responding to you right now. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd flood their lives with light, with clarity, with vision, with hope for the future. That God, there'll be a determination to continue to press forward, even when there's no results flowing at the time. That God, there'll be a determination, a courage, and a boldness to continue to press forward and to keep going on and on and on, so that there'll be just a flow of your fruit in our lives, Lord. So we just thank you, Jesus. We thank you you're speaking. We thank you that you're just touching each one of those that have lifted their hands to you this morning. We thank you, Holy Spirit.